Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
Today is the last part of our series, Adulting. It's only a four-week series, and next week we start Reset. It's a series on marriage, relationships. It will help your marriage. Know somebody who needs help in their marriage? Bring him next week. It's going to be awesome. I want to give you a quick thing that Christina didn't tell you today about kickoff. If you know somebody with kids, they really will enjoy this kickoff because we will have a fire department come with their big fire truck on the parking lot. So if your boys, girls like fire trucks, bring them by. We will have a boom truck. So if anybody wanted to be lifted in the sky pretty high up there, you can try. See if you're afraid of heights or not. It's going to be awesome. We'll have free food. We will also have food trucks. So there's going to be a barbecue truck and a taco truck. How about that? And there's going to be inflatables and games for kids. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be awesome. So come, bring somebody with you. Make sure you invite somebody tonight. Amen? All right. Today my topic of the message is called Know Thyself. Does anybody know who said that? Pretty old guy. Close. It's a philosopher. You might be right. Somebody Google that, please. I thought it was Socrates, but you're pretty smart, so I don't want to argue with you. All right. But he said, know thyself. And in the Bible, it also talks about knowing yourself. If you're like me, I like sports. And last week, I watched what they called a fight of a century. A champion boxer was fighting a champion UFC fighter. And this champion boxer was 49-0. And he was retired already. He had a perfect record. He was a great boxer. He beat the best, like Manny Pacquiao. He beat all these great people, and now he was retired. He had a lot of money. His name was Floyd Mayweather. He was retired, but then there was this young coming star from Ireland, Conor McGregor, and he was a UFC fighter, and he was calling Floyd Mayweather out. And I don't know who you bet your money on, okay, so don't hate me for what I'm about to say. Then you lost. Sorry about that. But I was watching this whole drama unfold. I was watching this drama unfold as McGregor was calling Mayweather out for a fight. And there was a lot of talk, a lot of cockiness. They were so arrogant. And I understand you have to do that to promote a fight. But there was a lot of arrogance. And before the fight, McGregor was so funny. He was like, I'm going to knock him out in 4 rounds. I'm going to knock him out in 3 rounds. I'm going to knock him out in 2 rounds. And then he said, I'm going to knock him out in 1 round. And then he says, I'm an artist. I'm going to paint a picture on his face, I imagine. But there's something that McGregor didn't know. He didn't really know himself in a boxing sport. He knew himself in UFC. And the thing about UFC is in UFC, you only fight maximum 5 rounds. And usually he would knock people out way before that. So he never went full distance. But in boxing, you fight 12 rounds. And if you ever boxed, and I have when I was a teenager, you know that it's super hard to go through 5 rounds of boxing. Your hands start dropping. Okay, and even if the guy is not stronger than you are, but if you can't lift your hands, you can't fight. If you can't defend yourself, the referee has to stop the fight and give the victory of technical knockout to another guy. Right? After the fight, McGregor And here's what happened in a fight. I'm going to spoil it for some of you, if that's okay. For four rounds, McGregor was beating on Mayweather. Okay? Mayweather looked pathetic in the first four rounds. And I'm like, is he washed off? Is he too old? You know? Because the young guys in the room was talking about how he was too old. And he's my age, so I was defending the guy. And so, for four rounds, and then up to the fifth round, he started dropping his hands, his arms. And Mayweather, for first four round, was defending himself. And later he just started punching hard and not missing. And there was, by round eight, nine, there was nothing. McGregor couldn't do anything because he couldn't lift his arms. He was so tired. He was so weathered. He was so beaten down. And I don't believe he was a weak fighter. I don't believe he was a less of a fighter. He was just not used to 12-round boxing match. And Floyd Mayweather did it for 49 times and beat everybody he fought. Floyd Mayweather knew himself. McGregor didn't know himself. And when you don't know yourself, you don't know what you are capable of. So my question to you, and this is the hardest question any man or woman can answer, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? See, I've met a lot of people, myself included, that who don't know who they are. We have big dreams. We have big plans. We want to do great things in this world. But because we don't know who we are, we can never accomplish anything of significance in this world. Because we never took time to discover who am I. When I look at Jesus, there is no doubt he knew who he was. He would declare, I'm the Son of God, and you shall see the Son of God. He would say, it is written about me in the Bible. Who is it about? It's about me. Jesus knew himself well, and that's why he knew his strength, and he knew his weaknesses. Do you know who you are? In Luke chapter 14, I want us to read this, verse 28 through 32, it says this. He said, but don't begin until you count the cost. First, he says, count the cost. How much money do you have? How much resources do you have? For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? So we can say it, who would begin to build a life? Who would begin to build a marriage? Who would begin to build their children? Who would begin to build a business? Who would begin to build a ministry without first counting and looking within to see if you can finish what you start? How many of you of us know people, they start things, they can never finish them. Now, it's okay to start to find out if that's what you're good at. But if you invest tons of money into it and then you find out you can't run a burger shop, you hate cooking, then it would be bad because you wasted a lot of money. So Jesus said, count the cost. Count your abilities. Count your talents and skills and education. Can you do what you're trying to do? Watch this. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? You can begin. Anybody can begin. Can you finish what you began? Everybody can start a marriage. Everybody can start dating. But can you finish what you begin? I'm not going to go there. Next week, marriage series. Okay. Next verse. Let's go verse 29. Otherwise, I love Jesus. He's got humor here. Watch this. Otherwise, you might complete only foundation before running out of money. And then everyone will laugh at you. Who said that? Jesus. I wonder if he laughs at us when we start things. And it's just like, that's my stupid kid right there. Love him to death. Not smart, though. And true, he loved us to death. His death. So when he says, I love him to death, it's true. Next verse. They would say, there is a person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss? Counselors. Sitting down with his counselors. Have you ever sat down with a counselor? How often do you sit down with a counselor? I sit down about 3 to 4 times a year. What king would go to war against another king without sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat 20,000 soldiers marching against him? So Jesus talking war strategy. Next. And if he can't fight with 10,000 against 20,000, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. Do you know who you are? Do you know your strength? Do you know your weaknesses? I would say don't live another week of your life without discovering who you are. Because it's so easy to discover who you are, especially in a Google age, especially in the technology information age. There is no excuse for any of us to walk around acting like someone else. Acting like we're higher than we are, or acting like we're lower than we are. Both is pride. Higher than we are or lower than we are. Bible says you have to act like you are. Do you know yourself? Who am I? What do I believe? What is my purpose? What fills me with joy and wonder? Who am I? Knowing who you are will determine the battles you will undertake and the things you will negotiate. Knowing who you are will determine the battles you will undertake, the battles you will fight, and the battles you will negotiate. Right? Like this king. Maybe I'm not going to go in a battle with you. Maybe I need to negotiate with you. Maybe you can't go into battle with your boss. Maybe you need to negotiate with your boss. Help me out here. Wisdom. This is perhaps the most hardest question, you guys. Who am I? Do you know who you are? Until you do, listen to me, you will never know where you fit in. Until you know who you are, you will never know where you fit in. And when you do know who you are, you will fit in anywhere. Oh, that's good. If you don't know who you are, you'll never know where you fit in. But when you do know who you are, you'll fit in anywhere. Because you know who you are. I'm not going to explain that. You're going to have to think about it. Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said this, "Now, with God's help, I will become myself." I don't want to live like somebody else. I don't want to be you. I want to find out who I am, and I want to be myself. Here's what God wants for you. God wants for you to be yourself. God wants us to be ourselves. See, life and culture, they try to mold us and shape us into what we should look like. Where should we go to college? What kind of jobs are important in this life? What causes we should fight for? Right? They want us to be who they want us to be. The devil, on the other hand, wants to confuse you from knowing who you are. The world wants to shape you into what they want you to be. The devil wants to confuse you from what you're not. We live in a culture of a lot of confusion. We don't know who we are. We don't know if we're men or a woman anymore. And I'm not disrespecting anybody. I love you. If you're struggling with confusion right now, we love you. You're accepted here. You want it here. You belong here. That's all good. God loves you. But the devil comes with a thought. He's a sneaky devil. He comes and says to you, what if you are this? And I don't even want to mention, because we have young people here, first time in church, from kids church. That's their first Sunday. But he comes and tells us, he just drops a thought. What if you are not a guy? What if you're female? He's a salesman. But he doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. He hates your creator, God. He hates your father, God. And so he hates you. If I couldn't get to you because you're too strong for me, I would try to get to your children. If I couldn't get to your children, I would try to hurt your dog. If I couldn't get your dog, maybe I'll try to hurt your lawn. I don't know, spread some seeds of weeds in your yard. Isn't that what devil does? Doesn't that what Jesus said? He tears, right? He plants tares in your field. If he can get to you, to your children, to your dog, to your cow, he'll plant weeds in your yard. What the? And you're going to listen to what he says about you? You're going to listen to what he says about your identity, about your femininity, about your masculinity? Is that where you're going to get your advice from? The world wants to mold you. The devil wants to confuse you. So who am I? Who are you? Only God knows truly who we are. And so we want to come to him and find out, who are we? What is my role? What am I supposed to do? Well, if you're a man today, I want to give you a few things. If you're a man, you're supposed to be a worker. You're supposed to work. That's part of who you are. You discover who you are when you work. You'll never know who you are unless you work. Quiet in this church. That's okay. A bird discovers who she is when she... A fish discovers when she swims. A lion discovers when he roams the fields of Africa. You men... Men, we discover who we are, women too, when we work. We discover who we are when we work. I don't even know why I'm going here. That's not where I want to go. But devil wants to confuse you. The world wants to change you into the mold. And so there's a battle right now for your soul. Who will you be? Who will you belong to? Okay, will you be who God says you are? His word says you are? Or will you be what your friends say you are? Or will you be what the devil says quietly? You're stupid. You're never going to succeed. Or you're so great, these people are nothing. They're garbage. You're just the best. What are you doing with these people? Right? So he wants to inflate or deflate. And Paul says in Romans, can we open to Romans 12:3? Watch what Paul says. Romans 12:3 says this: because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. That's arrogance. That's pride. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. When was the last time you evaluated yourself? Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. That means evaluate your gifts, your abilities, your work ethic, everything. your laziness, your procrastination, your explosiveness when things don't go your way. You gotta evaluate everything. Listen, a lot of us, I'm just evaluating the good stuff about me. Listen, that's not good, because you don't know who you are. You're not that good. If you only look how good you are, you'll never know who you are. Because knowing who you are is looking at the good, bad, and the ugly and saying, this is who I am now. Now, this is not who I want to be, but this is who I am. I met a young man many years ago, and he had big dreams. And I really believe that God had big things for him, because he spoke big things, but he could never get any traction. He couldn't take his steps to go to that dream. And one day we're driving with him in a truck, and I said, who are you? And you know what he said? He said, I'm broke. My marriage is falling apart. And he started crying right in front. It's weird. Two guys in a truck, one is crying. That's weird, right? Until you admit who you are now, you can never take your first step to where God wants you to be. Because a lot of us are living in a limbo, there's no solid ground. Our dreams are so big, we're living in a cloud. Have you ever heard of people say, he's in a cloud somewhere? You can't take steps in the clouds. You're blown by the wind in the clouds. You can't go where you want to go in the clouds. You're just in the cloud. You have to see, God gave you that dream. I don't doubt that for a minute, but you got to come down. See, you were in the mountain when God gave you the revelation, the vision, the dream. But Moses has to come down from the mountain. Jesus has to come down from the mountain, because listen to me, the dream will be accomplished not on the mountain, but on the ground. The dreams are not accomplished up there. They're accomplished here. Pastor, I have so many prophecies. God has given me these dreams. I'm going to be preaching to thousands. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to have a parking lot of cars for sale. They're going to be awesome. What are you doing about it now? I'm just dreaming. God is going to do it. No, he's not. You're going to do it with God. You're going to do it with God. We're God's co-laborers with Christ. Co-laborers with Christ. We work together. God cannot do it without you, and you can't do it without God. Or if you do it without God, you'll tear it apart at the end without God. You hear what I'm saying? Thank you. One person. Hallelujah. Four, thank you. Do you know who you are? When we don't know who we are, we start living a fake life. And here's what we do. We start covering our flaws, not realizing that God gave you your strength and God gave you your weaknesses. Your weaknesses are just as fun about you as your strength. God gave you strength and God gave you weaknesses. But if you don't know who you are, you start covering up your flaws. Let me tell you the truth. When you try to cover up your flaws, it's a weak attempt to try to be perfect. Have you ever met a person who doesn't know who they are and they're acting all, but you see the fakeness and you're like, I just can't be friends with you. I'll never meet with you again for lunch, because it felt like I'm talking and you just don't know who you are. I'd rather you be yourself and obnoxious and a jerk than not know who you are. True. I hate meetings when I meet with people and I just sit there. So how are you? Good. What's going on? Oh, everything is good. Whew. Can we not answer with one word answers, please? Let's just talk. Let's open up. Let's be authentic, right? Let's see, when you don't know who you are, you try to cover up your imperfections. When you try to cover up your imperfections, you're trying to be perfect, and no one is perfect. It's like trying to make a used car new again. It's never going to happen. Even if you rebuild it and make it classic and new, it's never going to be new again. It was new once. Same with sinners. Sinners are broken. Okay, we're not new car, we're used car now. All sinners are. And God knows that. God says, I'm going to work with these used cars. Why am I talking about used cars? But you get the analogy, right? Perfect. Thank you. When you try to be perfect, you attract people who try to also cover up their flaws. When you are covering up your flaws, you attract people who are covering up your flaws. How long will that relationship last? Two fake people got together. Then they got married, found out that they're fake. And now the marriage is fake. Relationship, business partnership, friendship, whatever, co-workmanship, every fake. Fake friendships don't last. Only real relationships last. That's why you got to open up yourself. That's why you got to be transparent a little bit. What creates authentic relationship? Transparency. Unauthentic relationships are short and boring. Unauthentic relationship. Why are you boring? Because you are not real. You don't know who you are, or you're hiding and trying to show that you're better than who you are. But here's the thing you got to recognize. Everyone, all have sinned and fallen short of the perfection of God, of the glory of God. And here's the truth. You'll never be perfect. You'll always be that used car. No matter how much paint you put on the outside, human beings speaking, you'll never be a new car again. But God loves used cars. God loves sinners. We try to be better. We try to change an alternator to run better. But God loves used cars. Whew. See, what is love? Love is ability to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And at the same time, accept yourself and accept others. You know, the Bible says you should love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't know who you are, you can't know. You can't love yourself. Or the next person. If you don't know who you are, you can't love yourself. That's why we should spend more time not showing off to people of who we think we are or who everybody else says or the devil says we are. We should try to find out. See, this message, if you apply it today, it will change your life forever. Because once you find out who you are, it's going to be amazing. I'll show you here in a second what happens when you find out who you are. When you know who you are, you will build true relationships with people like you. Write this down. When you know who you are, you will build true relationships with people like you. Here's a problem that people have. People come to me as a pastor and say, Pastor, I can't find any friends. My next question to them is, who are you trying to be friends with? This is so deep. I'll explain it in a second because you're like, that's not deep. Guys come to me and say, Pastor, no girl will go out with me. Have you asked? Yes. Who have you been asking? You know where I'm going with this. And sometimes they say, I've been asking that boy or that girl. And I'm like, there's a little bit of a disconnect. You know, the Bible says this about us. Jesus said this. So don't hate me. If you're going to hate anyone, don't hate Jesus either. But Jesus said this. He said, some people have faith for 40 times faith. Remember, some people sow and they reap 30 times because of their faith. Some people sow or plant seeds and they reap 60. And some people sow and they reap 100. Okay? So what I would like to say is there's, in this room, there's people with 30%, 30 times faith, 60 times faith, and 100 times faith. Would you agree? Now let's apply it to friendships and relationships. A 30 times faith guy comes to a 100% girl. So a 3 comes to a 10. You want a date? Let's just be friends. Now, I'm not being offensive, but a 30% girl or a guy, because girls come to Pastor, I was chasing this guy and he didn't want nothing to do with me. He blocked me on Facebook. 30 was chasing a 60 or 100. Of course, I could see why. Because here's what happens. If a 30 marries a 60, it will be a disconnect. And you know what? It's not the 30 who won't be happy. It's the 60 or 100. A person who has 30% faith, oh, he'll be happy. She'll be happy. Oh, look what I got. But then you'll make that person an idol. You'll make him God. You'll make her God. And God will have no other gods because that's idols. You should try to marry a person just one step higher than you. That's it. If you can go 1 or 2 points higher, if you can go 40%, you scored. I mean, I like to think that I have 100 and I went 110. But but you see what I mean? You got to marry somebody who is, what is the, Genesis chapter 2 says, who is compatible to you. Because if 60 marries a 60, and I believe we're a church of 60 at least, 60 to 100, we have not a lot of 30s here. So 60 to 100, we're a good-looking church. Look around. Very good. Don't you ever, thank you. Pastor, I can't find any friends. Who are you trying to be friends with? If you're a doctor and you're trying to be friends with a mechanic, you won't have much in common. You can't even go out to eat together, not unless you pay. Because the doctor will be eating a $60 steak. And the mechanic will be, salad please, $20 salad please. And so one couple is happy eating. It's just Thursday, we're just having dinner. And another couple is wondering how they're going to pay their light bill. But if you don't know who you are, you will try to find friends who are, you're 60, they're 100, or you're 100 and they're 60. And why do people have friends down? Here's why. So they can feel better about themselves because they're insecure. So if you're 100 and you have friends who are not as not equal to your status of that or faith, of that, because you want to feel superior. Oh, look at me, I'm better. You need friends. You need friends who are like you. You need to marry somebody just a little bit greater than who you are, guys. Okay? You just... But I just help somebody get a date here. Help somebody get a date here. You've got to take me out now. $60 steak. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. When you know who you are, you will build true relationships with people like you. And we're not talking race, because there has nothing to do with race. It has to do with your faith. It has nothing to do with your race, It's faith. Find people who are on the same level of faith. If you plant and you get 30 times, you find people like that. Now, there's a difference between friends and coaches. I'm not talking about coaches. Coaches should be higher than you. You should look up to people who are higher than you. I look at my coach here at the church, not here at the church, but who I look up to, he's farther than I am. His church is way bigger than I am. So, but he's not my friend, he's my coach. And I recognize that he's friendly. We go eat together sometimes, but I'm not fooling myself. We're friendly, but he's my coach. So when you know who you are, you'll know who to be friends with. Does that help you? One person, hallelujah. Let me read that, Romans 12:3 again. I got to finish. I got so much more to say. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are, but be honest in evaluating your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by what?
Faith.
Faith is what makes a difference in your life. Faith. I hope I didn't offend anybody, because that wasn't the purpose. The purpose is to help you be at peace with yourself. I remember going with a person, going out with a person, Tanya and I, another couple, and another couple went together. And two of us, we had a lot in common. We had kids. And another couple didn't have kids. So guess what? It was so awkward. Because we were in a different stages of life. We weren't better than them. We were just on a different stages of life. My single buddies will not want to hang out with me and my kids. It will be boring to them. And they shouldn't. They should go hang out with people like them, so they can hopefully get a spouse and hang out with us later. So hopefully they can find people like them, and they could have those real friendships and relationships. How do I know you don't know who you are? As a pastor, sometimes I give people a personality test. You know, personality test can tell me if you know who you are or not. And this is not bad. Maybe you don't know who you are. And today is the challenge. It's not like making fun of you. It's a challenge to find out. Usually people will do this. Put 5 on everything. 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. And I'm like, this person doesn't know who they are. But they have a high inflated ego. Or they put 10, 10, 10 on a lot of things. And I'm like, this person doesn't know who they are, but they have a low self-evaluation. When I take a test, sometimes I feel like a sinner. Because if you're really honest, you'll have 5s and you'll have 10s. Did you know that online at New Life Church, we have a test, spiritual gift test? Did you know that you can go and take that test and find out who you are? A lot of those questions will be hard for you to answer, so you'll have to find somebody who knows you well, like your spouse, or somebody who really knows you, so you can mark it right. But it's not going to be all 5s, and it's not going to be all 10s. You're going to find out if you're a giver, if you're a leader, if you are lazy, or if you're a procrastinator. You're going to find out who you are. No pointing fingers right here, front row. But do you know who you are? Here's what happens when you know who you are. Number one, you're more happier. Because you express your desires, you know what you want, what you don't want. So, you know what you'll do? When you know who you are, you'll go to people like you You'll do more things that you like to do because you know who you are. Jesus avoided Pharisees like a plague. Why? He knew who he was, and he knew who they were. Notice, not even once, Jesus wanted to be friends with these high political leaders, religious leaders. Why not? He knew who he was. Those were not his people. Not his people. I'm not going to hang out with you. You're not my people. I love you. I came to die for you. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to be crucified for you, but I'm not going to hang out with you. Because I know who I am. Number two, when you know who you are, you have less inner conflict. When you are outside of what you are, you have a conflict. Yeah. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'm going to end with this. There's more points, but no time. Here's the thing. I found myself conflicted. I didn't know, kind of lost myself. You know, being a pastor, so there's me in a business world and there's me in the ministry world. And I thought I was the same person, but I'm not. I wasn't. In business world, I'm a decision maker. I'm confident. I know who I am. I'll tell you no if that's not where I want to go. If you offer me something, I'll say no. I won't do that. We'll do this. We won't do that. But in the ministry, what happened is, because there's so many people, I became a people pleaser. Started living for people. And ministry is like football. You get hurt on every play. Listen, ministry, some of you are like, I want ministry. Great. Can you get hurt and keep walking? Ministry is like NFL football. You're going to get hit. Sometimes you'll break your ACL or sprain an ankle or whatever. Ministry is like football. And so, naturally in life, I'm an extrovert. I love being around lots of people. But I started finding myself building walls and walls and walls and walls to the point where I, like, who am I, God? Who am I as a pastor? I'm awkward with people because I'm trying to be I didn't even know that. So make a decision. One day I said, that's it. I'm flying to see my coach. He lives far away. So bought a ticket. My wife bought me a ticket. I fly out and I sit down and I start talking. And I said to him my exact question. I said, do all pastors start extroverted and then become introverted by the time they're done? And he's like, a lot of them do. I said, why? He said, because of hurts and pains. And so you try to protect yourself. I said, but Pastor Bob, that's his name. I said, Pastor Bob, I don't have a person in my mind who hurt me. He's like, it's not one person. It's just situation. It's people you've helped and they left without saying goodbye. Oh, I've had those. It's people you took shopping, bought them clothes, bought them food. They were at your house eating chicken. And then they just, like they didn't know you. Acted like they didn't know you. That creates hurts and walls. And so he started talking to me. I started weeping. But my healing came because I found out. He said, don't try to be an introvert for anybody because that's not who you are. The only place you be an introvert is in the presence of God. Shut your mouth. Let him speak to you. Let him speak to you there in the secret room, in the prayer room. Let him speak to you. Listen to him. He said, find somebody to talk to let go of this hurts, let go of these pains. When I came back, I was a different person. I'm never going to be that. I'm going to say things faster than I thought of them. So that's going to be me. Probably heard it today. I said something, I'm going to go back and I'm like, oh. Shouldn't have said that. Especially when I say something about my kids. Then I'm like, ugh. Then they make me buy them stuff. I can't believe you said that. Buy this. Okay. Well, When I came back, took a test again, and guess what? 80-20, I was extrovert, 20% introvert. I'm like, why was I trying to act like I'm all introverted? I even started telling people, because this happened over years. This is not like a couple of months thing. Happened over years, and I started telling people I'm an introvert. I'm not an introvert. I love people. I love life. I love being around lots of people. I love jumping on a table and dancing in the downtown Sioux Falls with Andre. Praise break. I love praise breaks. Sometimes in church, I feel like I could do a circle right here. Will you do it with me? All right, come on. Come on. Woo! Woo! Yeah! Thank you, guys. Hey, what happened to you? That you were going to do it with me. I did. Too late. The moment is gone. The moment is gone. You have less conflict because you know who you are. You make better decisions because you know who you are. You have better self-control because you know who you are. You resist pressure because you know who you are. Peer pressure. I'm not going to do that. That's not who I am. If I had time, I would tell you about Joseph. Because he knew who he was. There was a pressure that came on him. Remember? Christian people, the pressure, the woman, a wife of another man, of his boss, came to him and wanted to persistently. And a young slave said, no, how? No, he knew who he was. How can I do this evil thing against your husband? And my God, I can't do that. I know who I am. I'm a God person. I'm a believer. And we don't do that. We don't do that. That's not who I am. I'm sorry. That's who I was, but that's not who I am. We fight for our marriages. We fight for our relationships. We fight for our children. We fight to save and help people. We fight for that. That's what we do. Don't tell me to stop talking about my Jesus. Don't tell me to stop evangelizing. That's who I am. I'm a believer, and that's what we do. Come on, stand to your feet. That's what we do. Do you know who you are? You'll be more tolerant to other people when you know your strength and your weaknesses. You'll find a better job because you'll find a job in an area of your strength, not your weaknesses, where you always have to be better and improving, always have to come up to that line. When you work in the area of your strength, you're over the line all the time. You're improving because you're just better. Hallelujah. Do you know who you are? 4 points, and I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to preach. How to know who you are. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, study yourself. Study yourself. Number one, confront everything about yourself. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Who are you? Confront the good, the bad, and the ugly. Are you a thief? No, I don't think of myself as that way. But do you steal? In the last month, have you stolen? That's who you are. Okay. Oh, Jesus. See, we block the bad, and we just want to think good of ourselves. And that good part is us, but the bad part is also us. Are you an addict? Oh, no, no, by the grace of God, I'm not. Are you? Have you? Last time you were presented with drugs, did you take? Well, yeah. That's who you are. You're maybe an occasional drug addict. Do you get drunk? Are you a drunk? You know, confront the bad things about yourself as well. I know you know the good, but what about the bad? Because it will help you determine who you are now. It all starts here. Don't live in a cloud. Come down. Number two, take a test. You know how many tests there are? Online at our church right now, you could go and take two tests. Spiritual gift test and personality test. Do it, please, everybody. Because everybody has a gift. Number three, ask people who know you best to help you figure out who you are. I think I'm an introvert. No, you're not. No, you're not. I know you. You're definitely not an introvert. I'm talking in general. I appreciate how you love how me and you preach to one another. But there is more people here. You know that, right? Hallelujah. You're not the... Ask people who know you best. Number four, ask God to show you from the Word who you are. Because there's scriptures in the Bible that will tell you only that who you are. Jesus would say, that scripture, you know that scripture in the Old Testament? That's about me. Do you have those scriptures? What scripture is exactly about you? Do you have one?
Yes.
If you don't, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's about you. If you're a believer, that's about you. 10 minutes over, gotta quit. Did you enjoy this message?